Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Friday's edition of Morning Brews. My name, of course, is Ryan Smeltz, and I am super excited to continue this ad-free. I thought about this yesterday, with the exception, of course, on one of our monetized channels. So if you want to watch or listen to this completely without ads, Spotify is the best place to do so. If you pull up the video and watch it and you jump in your car and start driving, it automatically switches to audio mode only. So that's my recommendation. Of course, we are on YouTube and Facebook with in-stream ads, or any of your favorite podcast platforms if you just want to listen to the audio. But today I'm going to jump into it. We are talking about prioritizing company culture. I've got your three bullet points. Number one, employees that feel engaged and inspired are 125% more productive. Two, survey your staff culture-wise. Three, work toward a better culture. So this is something that I am passionate about. I believe in 100%. I have seen both good and bad company cultures in the military and outside of the military, and have been in some sort of leadership role for over the past 15 years. So it's something I am extremely familiar with. I would probably never consider myself an expert, given that I am always learning something new and being able to apply it. However, I do enjoy it from a standpoint of being in a position where I not only get to practice things that directly influence the company culture, but I also get to see the results of those things being implemented. If I work by myself at the house, then I don't get to see that. So being in a team environment is definitely something I can appreciate. Number one, employees that feel engaged and inspired are 125% more productive. So I'll give you military and civilian life, real life examples. Number one, going back to the military, we had something called Motor Pool Mondays, where we would basically go over, and there were containers. Most of you probably know them as shipping containers. We called them Connexes, and you open them, and inside, you know, if it was a full-size container, it could be 53 feet long, it could be half that, and that's where we kept pretty much all of our equipment and gear that either, number one, didn't need to be in a conditioned environment, so it wasn't necessarily subject to hot or cold temperatures, because it could get extremely hot and extremely cold inside of those connexes. And number two, it wasn't necessarily a sensitive item in a sense that it had like serial numbers or it was a weapon and had to be kept in an arms room. So a lot of what you saw in there were extremely heavy mounts for weapon systems, tents that were very large. Maybe they were for team size elements, squad size elements, the poles that went along with that stuff. And so we would conduct layouts periodically. To some of us, it may have seemed like every single week we were conducting a layout, and it could be for multiple reasons. It could be we're about to go on a field exercise and we needed to find out what was in there that we needed, what we didn't need, and then, you know, stage the stuff that we would be needing, where when we went to roll out at 4 o'clock in the morning for the field exercise, we could swing by the Connex, pop it open, grab what we need, and bounce. So preparation for a training exercise, or it could be for inventory purposes, where the company commander was coming by with a clipboard and a pen and taking a look at things to say, okay, your platoon is assigned 4 of the squad tents, 1, 2, 3, 4, good to go, you know. So those are just a couple of the reasons we could be doing it. And because of the size of the Connexes and all the equipment in them, you know, sometimes maybe it was just a squad unloading it. Sometimes it might be the entire platoon unloading it, laying everything out, and putting it back. And oftentimes these inventories might be conducted during a change of command. So if we got a new platoon leader, new XO, new company commander, maybe even a new battalion commander, we're over there laying this stuff out. So basically what I'm getting at as it relates to the company culture here is during those layouts, you basically saw two different types of leaders. Leader number one is standing off to the side, smoking and joking, drinking his energy drink, pointing and telling people where to put stuff, and doing his best other than pointing, not to lift a finger. And I think it's pretty obvious what that might do, especially to the lower enlisted who feel like they're doing all the work. But then the flip side of that is the leader who is not just giving the purpose, direction, and motivation. Hey, go set those over there. Go set that over there. Let's hurry up. We got lunch right around the corner. Then we can finish this up. But he's also helping to lay the stuff out. So it's very much kind of let me show you or follow me, as opposed to do as I say, not as I do type leadership example. So I think the major disconnect between the people who show their team how to do something and lead by example and the people who stand off to the side and point is, number one, the ones standing off to the side pointing and barking orders were probably in a similar position as they were being groomed and developed as a lower level employee or soldier. So they had a very similar type leadership, so that's how they learned they're supposed to do things, number one. And number two is, I think we all have great aspirations as we're learning how to become leaders. You know, I am going to be the best leader ever. I'm not going to do all the bad things that I've ever seen. And then you get into the position and you realize that, you know, I would love to be around my team all the time showing them how to do things. But yesterday is a prime example where I had to run an errand that was approximately an hour and 15 minute drive. And then I had to load some stuff up and take it back to the warehouse when I got there. So I was gone for about 3 hours. So as much as I would love to be around them the entire time, showing them the right way to do things and make sure that I am the best leader possible, sometimes that is just not a realistic possibility. So you have the two different leadership styles in the military, and I've already crossed over a little bit into the civilian side of things, but it's basically the same concept. You know, I think you definitely see the good, bad, and ugly inside of larger organizations. So I would say something like Walmart, where corporate is not necessarily on site. So they have a general manager, and then they have their middle-level management and lower-level management. And what happens is someone comes in as an associate, and they have terrible to non-existent leadership. Then they get promoted and given some special name tag or title or position or what have you. And now they think they run the entire store, and they don't have to do anything. And so where things start to fall through the cracks is one of the sayings, you know you're a leader when you can create a leader who can create a leader. Okay, so that is part of helping employees feel engaged and inspired. A couple things I do is I hold a weekly meeting, primarily in case we have anyone new, something we have to talk about for the week. We go around, we say our names, fun facts, and we also catch up. Okay, what did our numbers look like for the week? What are we doing well? What can we improve on? I have a daily training meeting. I call it my 5-minute training, because I try to make those last less than 5 minutes. And because they're daily, I get to touch on at least five different topics throughout the week. and I don't have to take up a lot of time. One of the books on my bookshelf is titled No Chairs Make for Short Meetings, and not only do I really appreciate that title, but I also hate meetings. So if I can make them shorter and give us a reason to not sit around jaw-jacking for a long time, then I'm definitely for it. So that's just a couple of things that I use as tools to keep everyone engaged, make sure that we get together, because sometimes maybe one guy is working at one end of the warehouse and the other guy's at the other end and they may never cross paths, but that engages everyone with everyone else. And then as far as the inspiration aspect, one thing I do my best to communicate to my team is that it doesn't really matter to me if someone sticks around for the long term of the company, or if someone were to come in and they say, look, I just graduated high school, I'm taking a year off to work a job, and then I'm going to go to college. I want to make sure that that year is one of the best years that they have. I want to make sure they get all the tools that they're going to need in order to go to school and succeed. If somebody comes to me and they want to work this job part-time and we're hiring for part-time because they have their own business on the side that is becoming very successful, I want to make sure that their business gets off the ground and they're able to run it and be as successful as possible. And the same goes on the flip side. If someone comes in and says, I want to work here for 20 years and retire, I want to make sure that when they retire, they leave with as much knowledge, experience, and just set up for overall success at that retirement age as possible. So that's where most of the inspiration aspect comes from. That is something I talk about during the weekly meetings and try to instill in new hires as well. Hey, I realize that you could be here for 20 years or you might be here for a few short months, but I want to make sure when you do leave that you feel like we have added some type of value to you, your life, your passion, your side projects, whatever it might be. So engaged and inspired, those are the two things you really want to focus on. I'll tell you what, I'm already 12 minutes in. I seem to talk a lot, especially about this topic when it comes to company culture and leadership. Like I said, it is something I'm pretty passionate about. So I think I'm going to save bullet points 2 and 3. We'll continue this probably on Monday. 2 is survey your staff culture-wise. So this is one place you can implement a 360-degree leadership survey, something I'm working on right now. And 3 is work toward a better culture. So I don't care what type of company culture you have or you think you have, but it can always be improved in one aspect or another. So that's all I have for you today. Hopefully this is adding value to you. Hopefully we're building a small podcast culture here on the Morning Brews within the Business and Brews show. So once again, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to go back and listen to our other episodes of Morning Brews and Business and Brews and leave us a 5-star review. It helps get the word out and helps other business owners get the same value you do. And if you really like it, share it with your friends, share the value, tell them to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review as well. My name again is Ryan Smelt, and I will see you on next week's episodes of Morning Brews.